Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
DC may have been trying to hang on to the MCU coattails in recent years, but they arguably ruled the roost pre-Iron Man. With the many iterations of Superman and Batman and other characters, DC have had their moments. We are going to count down our greatest DC movies. But first, I'm going to give you the top 10 DC movies at the box office, adjusted for inflation. So, let me play that. We've got the metal version of Superman theme here, so... As a background, at number 10, we have Man of Steel from 2013, $711 million.
What's the S stand for?
At number 9 is The Batman, $772 million.
I'm vengeance.
At number 8, it's Wonder Woman, $823 million.
What is a secretary?
At number 7, it's Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice from 2016, $872 million.
Do you plead?
At number 6, it's the Michael Keaton Batman 1989, $897 million.
I'm Batman.
At number 5, it's Joker from 2019, $1.07 billion.
It's not a joke.
At number 4, it's the Superman, the original, well, the 1978 version, $1.11 billion.
I come from a planet called Krypton.
Huh?
At number 3, it's Aquaman, 2018, $1.15 billion.
My man!
At number 2, it's The Dark Knight Rises, 2012, $1.18 billion.
It would be extremely painful.
You're a big guy.
For you.
And at number 1, it's The Dark Knight, 2008, $1.21 billion.
No, you complete me.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Will they make our top 10? Who knows? I have got an expert with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He is a top comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Tez Ilyaz. And I am so happy that you're here, sir. Oh, it's Superman.
Here's a challenge for you.
Yeah.
Can you, without looking it up, reel off back-to-back the theme tunes for Superman, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, without getting them muddled up?
Yeah, so Superman is... Because I always remember Superman because it says, Superman, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
Indiana Jones is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Star Wars is... Well, do you want it from the 20th Century Fox fanfare? I can give it. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
I asked the wrong person. Do this at the pub. If you're listening, do this with your friends. And I guarantee you there'll be a lot of mix-up. Because those three, they're in the same space.
You know what? It's funny you say that. Because I was listening, I can't remember what I was listening to, and the Harry Potter theme came on. And it must have been around Christmas, because then I watched Home Alone. And they're both done by John Williams. And they're literally identical. Now, I love John Williams. I think he is an absolute god. But I thought, oh my God, that they are literally the same theme.
You know what? I listen to Harry Potter theme because I sometimes listen to soundtracks while I'm driving, and the Harry Potter theme came on, and there are parts of that the main Harry Potter theme tune that I really dislike.
Really?
And it reminded me of the worst bits of the movies, because the movies are a mixed bag.
Yeah, the first couple are very,
very not good.
Little kids from drama school. Yeah.
And I'm feel like I'm watching like a Match of the Day version of the books,
right?
Like he is highlights of what I think are the best bits for you, the viewer, and you're like, this is not a cohesive film.
So I take it you're looking forward to the Amazon. Is it Amazon or Netflix?
No, because it's so improved over the years, and then you got so used to it, and the adults are perfect.
Yes,
like every single one of them are perfect, and the kids got better as they grew the films, and so it is a bit difficult to disassociate it now. And it's going to be that, how dare you stood where he stood.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, before we pressed record, ladies and gentlemen, I will put the little... So we had a little Star Wars conversation, which I'll put at the end of the episode, because it was great. The rumour is that they're trying to get Adam Driver to play...
Snape.
And after you said your hatred for Kylo Ren, would that...
Yeah, but not for Adam Driver. Adam Driver's great.
He's fantastic.
I think he'd be a mate. I think that'd be perfect casting. Although part of me is like, keep him British. It depends how good his British accent is.
Yeah, that is true.
But then it's like, are you going to... You can't then also just do an imitation of Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman was playing Alan Rickman.
Exactly. And this
he
is
was
like
playing Alan Rickman's Snape.
Different are they going to try and do it?
Yeah.
It's going to be really strange. Anyway, before we actually go on to the DC movies, we've done Star Wars and we've done Harry Potter and we've done John Williams. You are a comedian, sir.
Yes, I am.
So now I saw that you're going out on tour soon.
Yes, in September.
Right. Now, I'm fascinated with... I've got a few friends who are comedians, and I am fascinated with your process in regards to having a blank page and then filling that with, like, if you're going to do a special or going out on tour, you're doing an hour at least, I would assume.
Yeah. So
how long does that take, and what's the process in filling that page?
The process is generally as long as it takes for you till your next show. So if I went, for example, if I went on tour last year and I went on tour this year, then the process would be a year. But my last tour was in 2021. This show's in 2024. So the process is 3 years. So between the end of my last tour and me thinking, right, announcing this one, I would have accumulated some material.
Right.
So that'd be the starting point for this new show, going, okay, you've got like 15, 20 minutes of stuff that you've written since the last tour. That's the starting point. It might not make... By the time I get to the tour and finish the editing process, it might not make it in. But at the beginning, that's the sort of... I've got 15, 20 minutes that wasn't in the last tour. That's brand new-ish. That's my starting point.
Right.
And some of it might make it into the tour. None of it might make it into the tour. All of it might make it into the tour, depending on what I decide the themes of the new show are and if the stuff that I'd written is strong enough or it's better than the stuff that I'm writing up to the tour. So I'd be writing... probably up until about August, and then a month of heavy editing, just at gigs. Doing the material at gigs and just editing until what I feel like is the strongest version of the show.
And do you sort of wake up in the morning and go, right, from 9 till 5, I'm going to write? Or is it you're just wandering around with a notebook in your pocket thinking, that I saw that, that's quite funny, and you take a note? Or is it a bit of both?
The latter. It should probably... By the time I get to the end, it'd probably be the former for about 2 weeks. But and I say the morning, I'm a night owl, so it'd be like at night. But it's but right now it's sort of like just letting your mind wander, and it's observations, it's stuff that's happened to you, it's stuff happening in your current life. So I got married 18 months ago, moving to a new house, so there's lots of stuff to mind there. It's stuff you observing in the news and current affairs and things you care about that you feel like that overlap with what your fans also care about. And then anecdotes and stuff. So yeah, it's a mix of like stuff that's happened to you, stuff that's happening to you, and stuff that you observed in the world, whether that's political or whether it's you're wondering why there's too much Biscoff around.
Right. But with the way that the world is, I mean, A, we need comedy, especially with the way that the world is. But how much of a knife edge is it now, especially doing political comedy? Is that what makes it interesting for you, is the fact that you might say something that can potentially get you cancelled or potentially make you go viral? Or is that the is that a danger, or is that like just an excitement in when you're writing?
A bit of both. Like, going viral is just so anxiety inducing.
Right.
Because, you know, whatever it is, you could be talking about potatoes, or you could be talking about a general election, or any something anywhere in between.
Yeah.
But someone will hate what your perspective on whatever it is.
Mm.
Obviously, the more political it is, the more people will find to hate it. But if you're talking about potatoes, there'll be someone in there who'll be frothing at the mouth about something that you've either left out, or you've offended them somehow or other. The internet is just a mad place full of people who just interpret, who take their own interpretations out of things. And also people who just want to troll because they enjoy trolling, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a sport now.
But it hasn't always been like that, though, has it? It hasn't always been, because obviously the internet is a relatively new thing.
No, I think a lot of this came sort of that post-Brexit Trump, because both of those happened in 2016.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that came post that, because suddenly then we all got divided into these two camps. And if you found someone who voted Remain in the Brexit vote, or voted Leave in the Brexit vote, or voted for Trump, or voted, I think it was Hillary Clinton at the time, you could also then, with a certain sense of certainty, a degree of certainty, guess their political views on 90% of other things. Because we've just now, oh, you voted Remain, therefore you must also probably support this. Oh, you voted Leave, you probably therefore think this. And 90% of the time, you're probably right. And we've just been put into these two camps, and our algorithm just feed us more and more of that. So we get more and more entrenched into those viewpoints. And we assume we're right, because all we're reading and all the opinions that we're seeing are agreeing with our what we think. So it's just, it's a mad time.
But does that then make generating comedy from that easier or harder?
In some ways, it's harder to go to clubs, because at comedy clubs, it is anyone's there. You know, the entire general public is there,
right?
From all sides. And it used to be that if you did stuff or said stuff, people would either laugh along because they get it as a joke, or they'd be like, well, I don't think that bit's for me, but I'll wait for the next bit. Whereas I found since post-Brexit, but especially since post-COVID, there's a lot more of...
Right.
In the audience that there never used to be. And I hate it so much, because I'm like, just let it wash over you. If you're not enjoying it, you'll enjoy the next bit. Or if you're not enjoying me, you'll enjoy the next person, because there's a comedy night of like 4 or 5 people are on. So don't worry about it that much.
Now...
especially since COVID, and like everyone assumes that their opinion is important and valid all the time, and like sometimes it isn't. So just don't worry about it.
And everybody's right. That's the thing, isn't it? Everybody thinks they're right.
Yeah.
So we're here to do. Now, you are a fan of superhero movies.
Yes.
Thank God for that. Otherwise, this would have been a really short fucking podcast. So where do you stand? If anybody's listened to this podcast before, they know where I stand in regards to, I think that DC right royally fucked up. They didn't follow the Marvel, let's take time and let's create movies where we feel for the characters and we get to know the characters. They tried to rush it, and for me, it didn't work, the whole DCEU. Where do you stand on the DC and MCU?
I think you're right. If you're comparing DCEU with MCU, there's only one clear winner.
Yeah.
I mean, the MCU knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
At least for a very, very long time. But I think if we're taking the wider DC and Marvel, my heart has always been DC.
Oh, right. Okay.
If we take non-shared universe movies,
yeah,
so standalone movies or standalone series, like the Dark Knight trilogy example, or we take video games, or we take animated stuff, or we take the comics, then I think that DC wins in almost every department, or at least it's where Marvel is strong, it's a close tie. Yeah. But I think DC takes more, like comics, animated stuff, movies, and like non-shared universe movies, I think is all DC.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to shared movie universes, MCU. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Okay. Well, let's
That's my forget. Take.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree. I think sort of pre-Iron Man, DC.
No one cared about Iron Man before Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
No one cared about Thor. No one cared about Captain America.
No.
We only cared about Spider-Man and Hulk and the X-Men.
Yeah. And that was it.
That was it.
I completely agree. Right. So give us, Tez, give us your number 10 DC movie.
Okay. Now, I just want to say that I decided to leave out animated movies.
Okay, fair enough.
And so not making the cut are two of my favorite DC films, which are Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And the Lego Batman movie, obviously.
Of course.
So those two don't make the cut.
Yeah, but I've done the
honorable mentions.
Wonderful. Okay. So your number 10 is?
The Batman.
Okay. Yeah, that didn't make my top 10, actually. It was very, very close.
I Am Vengeance.
Yes. Yes. So what made you, I mean, obviously it's in your top 10, so it's one of the highest ones, but what about that movie stood out for you then?
I loved this film. I really liked it. Robert Pattinson surprised us all. I thought he was a terrific Batman. I think his Bruce Wayne needs a little bit of work, but I thought he was a terrific Batman. Catwoman was amazing. It was gorgeous to look at. We had one of the best comic book villain turns by Colin Farrell as Penguin, who I'm hoping we see a lot more of.
Yeah.
Flagged a little bit. I thought there was one storyline too much in it, and so it probably dragged half an hour too much. That probably brought it down slightly from 5-star to a 4-star for me, or at least to a 4.5-star. But I loved it. I thought it was very well executed. I thought the story was great. I thought the story could have been slightly better. I thought it was slightly Sherlock light.
Mm.
I thought maybe the mysteries could have been a bit more compelling and a bit more, a bit harder to solve. Because if he's the world's best detective,
yeah,
the world's greatest detective, then I want Sherlock level of working shit out.
Yeah.
I want to see that. But I like that it was a noir. I like that it was sort of slightly slower paced. I like the voiceover. The music is gorgeous. And the choreography is great. The chase scene where Batman chases Penguin down was gorgeous. And yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought the fire scenes were really good, well choreographed. Mm.
I thought Paul Dano was really creepy as the Riddler.
Yeah, super creepy.
It wasn't over the top. It was very understated.
Yeah.
And he just looked like somebody that definitely had a screw loose kind of thing.
Yeah, and I like the whole, like the Thomas Wayne wasn't a saint.
That's right.
And I like that. And I feel like what it's possibly setting us up for, which I'd love, is maybe the Court of Owls.
Right. Okay.
Because that's a movie I'd love to see, or at least I feel like. Because maybe we're slightly jumping ahead of conversation wise, but what I'd love to see in the new DC, James Gunn's DCU, James and Pete's DCU. I would like to see Batman off the big screen, and I'd like to see him on the small screen. I'd like to see big budget HBO Batman series, where every series brings in a new Batman family member. So you start with Dick Grayson, and by the end of the 5th, 6th, whatever series, you end up with, you know, 4, 5, 6 of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then every series, you have a major villain and a sub-villain. So you might have a Deathstroke. So you have a street level villain like a Deathstroke, and then you have a more sort of another villain on
a big boss kind of thing.
Yeah. That's what I'd love, and I feel like you could then explore Batman and the Bat Family and just the catalog of amazing villains he has a lot better than just in a 2.5-hour film.
I feel like you've thought about that quite a lot.
I have. Really, partly is because I really want to see the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Court of Owls should be a series, not a film.
Right. I will come to it with one of my choices a little bit later on, but the one thing I don't like is that it's still very fractured. You've got the Batman over there, you've got the Joker movies that are not attached to anything, and then you've got James Gunn doing his
yeah,
stuff. So you've got so many different. I like it when it's all in the same. I do like the same universe kind of.
Yeah, thing. I get what you mean, but I feel like now with the and MCU have slightly helped with this with the introduction of
multiverses.
Yeah, yeah. And I think DC made the decision a couple of years ago where everything is canon
right.
within the multiverse.
Yeah.
So all of it, whether it's animated, comics, whether it's cancelled or still ongoing, is all canon somewhere in the multiverse.
Yeah.
And I quite like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we've gone from something that's very grounded with yours, number 10, The Batman. I've gone for something that is totally ridiculous. And I'm going to go for Superman 3. Now, Woo! Superman 3, I can remember because when that came out, so what would I have been? I would have been 14 when that came out. And Pamela Stevenson was in it for a start. So that was one reason. And it is totally ridiculous. This is when the Christopher Reeve Superman movies started to really get very cartoonish. Mm. And this has got Richard Pryor, you know, doing a great performance.
I loved him in it.
Yeah, Robert Vaughn as the baddie. But you also have that epic good Superman versus bad Superman because
that was nice
and it was so well done
and they grind him he grinds him in the grinder I remember that as a kid going wow
and it was just so it was brutal it was he gets flattened by a massive like I don't know what it is like a wrecking ball kind of thing but the fact that you see Superman he's in a bar he's sort of I think he's got a little bit of stubble now because he's turned bad and his blue suit is a slightly darker tinge of blue where he's turned bad and he's flicking peanuts in this bar smashing glasses and like he's had a drink and he goes off and he shags Pamela Stevenson and he's just oh my god it's crazy
but it's fun
it's a really good fun movie. I haven't seen it for a while so I don't know how much it holds up now.
Yeah, because isn't that supposed to be Brainiac at the end?
Oh my god, I don't know what was the end.
I'm like this sort of woman turned into a robot.
That's right. Yeah, that was like Robert Vaughn's.
And I feel like, is that meant to be Brainiac? And then is the bad Superman meant to be Bizarro? Because I feel like those are two wasted films.
Yeah, I mean possibly. I mean I know that he turned bad because they made some synthetic kryptonite, didn't they, to weaken
yeah,
him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they only had like 99%, and so they.
But then how were there two of them on the... You just, yeah.
I don't know.
That was weird. That was weird.
But it was... It's a lot of fun. I need to watch it again. I really do. I think I watched it about 5 or 6 years ago and I don't know how well it really holds up. But so we go from the sublime to the ridiculous.
It's not in my top 10. So neither of those are in our top 10s. I feel like there'll be a bit more overlap surely as
I'm sure. Progress. I'm sure there will. Okay, you're number 9 then, please, Tez.
Man of Steel.
Okay, yeah, it didn't make my top 10.
Wow.
Didn't.
So Man of Steel, I think, is the most technically well put together and impressive DC film ever made. Mm. And for that alone, because those are categories in the Oscars, for that alone, I feel like it merits a top 10. It's not a perfect movie by any means. And would I have had... I get it. But would I have had Superman killing Zod at the end? I probably wouldn't have made that decision. But then also, I'm not in charge of these decisions for good reason. I haven't earned that right. But I thought, because I love Superman Returns. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Superman Returns.
The Brandon Routh one, yeah.
No, sorry, not Superman Returns. Nope. Superman 2, sorry. I love Superman 2.
Right.
But I thought this Zod was genuinely... a menace.
Right.
And menacing. And I loved Krypton. I thought the first hour of this film was great.
Mm.
And then it got all bashy, bashy, smashy, smashy.
That's the trouble with all those kind of superhero movies.
But I thought the first hour was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Kevin Costner was great in it as Clark's dad, if you like, and Russell Crowe was Superman's dad. It definitely. The only thing about it, and I saw this movie not long ago, and there doesn't just seem to be any fun.
Yes,
in
dour,
the movie,
it's
very,
dour.
Very dour, and it just kind of. I think Superman is one of those things. I think it was said at the time that even when he starts learning how to fly, that's where the joy should be because he's got these amazing powers, and he had that little bit of the Kylo Ren kind of face like a smacked ass all the time, you know?
He's a god
on this planet, but, you know, we'll I'm sure we'll talk even more about Zack Snyder as we go on, maybe.
He comes back again.
Yeah.
In my list.
He'll be there a couple of times in mine as well. So,
But
yeah, it's a good movie. It is that thing again. I don't think DC quite got it right when they were sorting their movies out, but, you know. But talking about the reiteration of movies, I've gone for Wonder Woman 2017 as my number 9.
Okay, didn't make my list.
And we went to the cinema to watch this, and I was really surprised how much I enjoyed it, especially the No Man's Land scene, which for our Patreon subscribers, I'll put it on our video playlist because it is up on YouTube. And I find that really emotional. And what makes it worse is just how shit Wonder Woman 1984 was.
And
I couldn't understand how they could drop the ball from a movie that everybody thought this is fantastic to make such a piece of shit that was just didn't make sense in any. Yeah. And I think a bit of the stink goes on to the original Wonder Woman, which shouldn't really.
But I think Wonder Woman 1984 being so bad was also like a death knell for the DCU.
I think you're right, yeah.
So if that film had then been a success again, you're going, okay, there's something to build on here. Mm. Maybe just another, not only, obviously it was COVID, so it didn't do financially great. It was just so bad, so panned.
Yeah, and none of it made sense. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if we ever do a top 10 worst movies, that may well be in my top 10 of worst movies, because it was just something about it. Anyway, okay, your number 8 then, please, Tez.
Ooh, number 8, here we go. It is a Joker.
That's my number 6.
Todd Phillips Joker.
Yeah.
Great film. Great. I mean, if this was a non- superhero movie, if this was a movie about a guy psychologically breaking down, reaching the end of his tether, slightly incel characteristics, and then loses it and just takes his vengeance out on all and sundry, but also painted very sympathetically.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be higher on more critics' list.
Yeah.
I think it's a phenomenal film.
Yeah. That was the thing, is like, he is a psychopath. He's an absolute psychopath. But you actually feel sorry for him through the movie.
And I guess if his life had been led differently, if he'd been shown a bit more love, or if his co-workers even had been nicer to him, if the world hadn't treated him so shoddily, he wouldn't have become what he became.
No. And the one thing I loved about it was the fact that the Joker character has been portrayed so many times, like iconically, at least 3 times. I think Cesar Romero in the original Batman TV show was an amazing Joker. He's totally out of the way. Then you got Jack Nicholson. Mm. Then you got Heath Ledger. And you think, well, can anybody really do anything different with this character?
Well, Jared Leto never. He did do something different, but...
but it didn't work.
Yeah. And then you've got Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I forgot about him. But... He just played it absolutely. And then when he becomes the Joker, is like...
And the laugh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so good.
And the bit where going down the stairs when he's doing the dancing, it's creepy, but you can't take your eyes off of it.
Yeah.
It's just...
But the laugh being a tick is so perfect.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, that's a great one. So that's your number 8, and that's my number 6.
Okay.
My number 8 might be a bit controversial.
Go on.
But I'm going for the Justice League. But I'm going for the Snyder Cut.
Okay.
I'm going for the 4-hour Snyder Cut.
That's my number 4.
Is that your number 4?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I can remember when it came up on Sky, and I said to my missus, I said, I'm going to watch it. I'm probably going to watch, because I know that it's in chapters, I'm going to watch the first bit. I ended up, I think I went to bed at like 2:30 in the morning, because I watched the whole thing all in one go. And I thought, why didn't they just release this? Because we went to the cinema and watched the original Justice League, and within 2 minutes, everybody in the cinema, when we saw Henry Cavill's CG mouth, we thought, what the fuck is and we were all looking at each other going, what is this? And then it became, again, top 10 worst movies ever is Joss Whedon's Justice League.
It's so bad.
So bad.
But the Snyder Cut is so good though. And even if you could, and you could probably easily shave an hour off that.
Easy.
For a cinematic release, because the last hour of all the bit of that comes after they've defeated what's his face and all the dream sequence and all that, like that you could just lose for the cinema, you could lose all that.
Yeah.
And you could probably find another 15 minutes to shave off. But yeah, I thought it was brilliant. I thought Ray Fisher being the heart of that film was really clever.
Yep.
Them introducing the Atom.
Yep.
Would have been was great.
It just made so much more sense as a comprehensible movie and storyline. It just made so much more sense. Yeah. And yeah, I thought it was just great. It was just a great movie.
Then other Snyderisms, you know, the slow mo. Actually, if you sped up some of the slow mo, you could probably shave another half an hour off.
Yeah, probably could.
But
no, you get that with Snyder, don't you? That's the thing. You get that. I haven't watched any of that Rebel Moon. Have you seen it?
So bad. It's really? Nonsense. It's nonsense. It's terrible.
Because I heard a lot of that is slow motion as well, isn't it?
Yeah, even like for someone who I like Snyder and I want him to do well and I want his movies to do well and I want him to prove that Warner Brothers the execs wrong and whatever, right? But it's bad. It's not good.
Really?
It's not good.
Right. I won't bother watching it then.
Maybe it might have been a good Star Wars film where you don't have to introduce necessarily characters.
Yeah.
Because you know them already. Yeah. That could have been possibly a good film there. But because you're introducing a brand new universe and therefore brand new characters, which the film just didn't do very well.
Right.
And you just don't care for them. It's just bad. Bad. It's like the Eternals. I don't care.
Yeah. Anything post Avengers Endgame has just been bad. It's been DC bad, as far as I'm concerned. Apart from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I think that's been that.
And Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. No, yeah. Yeah, here we go. This is Apart from Spider-Man. Spider-Man into the multiverse.
The first six episodes of WandaVision.
Yeah.
And
but apart
until
from all that.
Until the reveal.
Apart from all that, what has MCU ever done for us?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Okay, so that was your. So what were we on there? That was my number 8. So we're on to you then, Tez, for your number 7, please.
My number 7 is. Oh, we got Snyder back again.
Right.
Watchmen.
That's my number 4.
Whoa, nice.
That's my number 4.
I love this film.
Oh, it is such a good film. Right from
almost,
the start.
Almost too faithful to the comics.
Yeah, apart from the one sort of. Apart from the squid.
Yeah,
at the end, but right from the first frame, the way that he uses music, and it's just a great movie.
Yeah, I love this one.
Yeah, and it's so gruesome as well. It doesn't. Hold back. You know.
Yeah. But this film, I think, is what got him the DC EU project.
I agree.
Yeah, but yeah, who watches The Watchmen? I thought it was brilliant, and using Bob Dylan at the beginning.
Yeah.
The score is incredible. I love this film. And what's his face? Who plays the Joker? Not the Joker, the comedian.
Negan, isn't it?
Negan, the Walking Dead.
Jeffrey.
Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. There you go.
I loved him in this. Actually, I love him in everything, including Supernatural. I think it's terrific. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's Thomas Wayne is the one that got away from us.
That's true.
Could you imagine? Believe they never gave that to us.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of moments like that of people that should have been in movies as certain people, and that was one of them.
Yeah, but this one was great. I loved it. I hadn't read the comics before going in, so I didn't know any of the plot twists. I didn't know when the bad guy revealed himself. I thought that was brilliant. Also, have you seen the Watchmen TV series?
I watched the first, I think, 2 episodes, and then for some reason just didn't watch the rest of it.
It's so good.
Right.
It's brilliant. You get to about episode 4 or 5 going, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then the last 2 or 3 episodes, everything ties together.
Oh, really?
And you're like, oh, maybe that's what I need to do then. This is good.
Right.
This is good.
Yeah.
And they deserved a second, but I think it was a standalone series. like story, so fine. But I feel like it deserved a second series in just to explore a different story, maybe in the Watchmen universe.
Right.
But it was, oh, it was terrific. So good.
Yeah, I bought the Watchmen graphic novel after seeing the movie.
Same.
Yeah, and it was, it's just,
yeah.
I think the obviously what Zack Snyder is good at is using music to go in with certain scenes, and it just makes
And he's technically a superb director.
It really?
Because Watchmen
really
is gorgeous.
Yes.
It's a gorgeous film.
Yeah.
And yeah. Dr. Manhattan looks amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Penis and all. Like, he looks great.
That was, oh dear. I mean, to be honest, look, if I was someone with the power of him, I'd give myself a bigger penis. I just would have done. I mean, you look at it and you think, okay, it's okay.
That's why I trust him. He's not arrogant.
Well, I suppose not. I mean, I suppose he can have, I mean, he was doing where he became like four or five of him to pleasure his girlfriend, wasn't he? So maybe he doesn't need a big penis, you know?
Yeah.
He's got 50 fingers going all different places. Who knows?
Maybe he's a grower.
Maybe he is. That's a bit personal for me. But anyway, let's I know that feeling. So 7 was The Watchmen. That was number 4 for me. My number 7, I'm going for Penguins and Batman Returns from 1992.
Oh, that's my number 3.
Ooh, okay.
I've got it that high.
Okay. I don't know what else you can say about this movie. It's again, it's literally sort of batshit crazy with the
This film is insane.
With the penguins that have got like rockets strapped to their backs, and Danny DeVito is great. I think this, because it was Danny DeVito, and then you had Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. And
yeah,
it didn't feel too much, you know.
And you've also got what's his name?
Christopher Walken.
Yes, Christopher Walken. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant film.
Yeah, yeah. And Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton, I feel, is my favorite Batman.
Okay.
So I don't.
I rewatched it before The Flash.
Right.
I watched Batman Returns before The Flash came out, and both those films are just, there's parts of them that are amazing.
Yeah. What did you think of The Flash?
I actually genuinely really liked it.
Right.
I thought there were bits of it that were silly. I thought the CGI needed some work, and you know, the Christopher Reeve thing was a bit insensitive, I thought. But I thought it worked. I thought he was terrific.
Yeah.
He was so good. Yeah. I was like, that's why they never fired him. Because he's fucking brilliant.
But I feel he's in the same boat as, he was the guy that played Kang, Jonathan Majors.
Yes.
They both kind of had their universes in their hand, and they both
fucked it up.
You know?
Yeah. But I thought it was good. I thought Batman was good. I thought Supergirl was terrific.
Yeah.
And I liked how, you know, like how sometimes when they bring characters back retrospectively, they make them weaker.
Mm.
Like the MCU have done this a lot with Thanos in the What Ifs and stuff.
Yes.
All the villains in What Ifs are like, oh, what if you could just flick him like that? But what they did was they made if anything, they made Zod even stronger than you remember. And you're like, oh yeah, don't fuck about with Zod.
Yeah.
He will fucking kill you.
Yeah. And a million
times.
Yeah. 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 It was definitely better than I thought it was going to be, because so many were slagging it off. So you got to walk it. Well, we got it at home, watched it at home, but you sort of start watching it with your arms folded. Like, come on then, come and impress me. And I genuinely thought it was good. It was good fun.
Yeah.
Like you say, the Christopher Reeve, and the Nick Cage CG.
The Nick Cage was funny though.
It was like, I mean, it was great because I'm a big Kevin Smith fan, so I've heard him talk about Superman movie for years.
That was a nice nod.
It was a nice nod, but it was just kind of like, I think by that time I was like, I'm sort of in. Right, okay, this movie is going to be fucking weird, so let's just
enjoy it.
But no, that's a good one. Yeah,
but they're not giving us a different, like not giving us Ebod Thorne or anyone else was, I thought, a bit of a missed opportunity as well. But then it keeps that open for James Gunn's DCU.
Yeah.
At least he didn't waste, what's his name, from The Boys.
Oh, I don't watch The Boys.
You don't watch The Boys?
No, I don't. I've had so many people say to me that I should watch it.
You need to watch The Boys.
Yeah, because that is supposed to be like really, really crazy.
Really, and also really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. Is that a DC thing?
I think it is a DC imprint.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't think it's part of the DC universe.
No, but it's a...
But I think it's a DC or a Vertigo or something. Or
right,
a,
right.
I think. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong. And okay. I'm sure someone will let you know.
Someone will email us and let us know. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was my number 7. Your number 3. So we need your number 6 then, please, Tez.
My number 6 is, and I think this is a criminally underrated movie, Shazam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that didn't make my top 10. Okay, why is it criminally underrated?
I really, really enjoyed this film. I think this film has great comedy, great heart, great action, and a thoroughly decent story that pulls you in. I thought the kids in it were terrific, and often in these movies, kids are terrible. I thought all the kids were terrific. I thought Billy's story was amazing. I thought the kid who played young Billy was brilliant.
Right.
Or young, yeah, it's Billy is his name, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think the kid who plays young Billy was terrific. And then also, whatever the comedian's name is playing Shazam was also terrific. And I thought then the sidekick kid, the kid with the crutches, I thought he was also really, really good. And I liked the Foster family. I liked him a lot. And I thought there was a semi-decent villain in there. And I just thought it was really good fun. I thought for an origin film, I thought it was better than probably most MCU origin films. Like, it's better than Captain America 1, it's better than Thor 1, it's better than a lot of, I thought it was better than Doctor Strange 1. Like, I thought it was a really, really, I thought it was DC's best origin film.
Wow.
Outside of like a Superman or a Batman.
Yeah. I need to revisit then, because I watched it once and I mean, it didn't float my boat too much. But
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay. Have you seen the second one?
Not good.
No.
Not good.
No.
Not, it's not like Wonder Woman 1984 levels of bad or Aquaman 2 bad.
Right.
But it's not good. It's a step below. And it's a shame. It seems like they've thrown a lot of the screen to see what sticks. And sometimes, and also partly I think it's like that film should have had The Rock in it. That film should have been the Black Adam film. That should have been the Black Adam film.
Yeah.
And then therefore they had to pivot to something else.
Yeah. Do you feel it felt like once they'd said that the Snyderverse was going to come to an end, it was like they just kind of, let's just get these movies out and out of the way so that we can get James Gunn, you know, in situ.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame. But yeah, no, I'll give that one another go, I think, because I think I liked it, but I just can't remember anything about it. So I need to maybe give it another go. If it's that high in yours, and you're a much bigger DC aficionado than I am, that's for sure.
Mm.
Right, my number 6 was Joker, which we've already spoke about. So nice. I never told you about this, so it's time for this
pop quiz, hot shot.
Okay, I got 10 questions, all DC movie related.
Oh shh.
Let's see, because you are.
I have a terrible memory, though.
But you're an expert. You seem to know. So let's have a look. What kind of percentage you get? So number 1, what is Task Force X also called?
The Suicide Squad.
1 out of 1. Number 2, in Batman, what is the name of the Gotham City crime boss Jack Napier initially works for?
Is this Batman 1?
As in the 1989 Batman, yeah.
Yeah, he works for, this is Jack Nicholson's character. So
Jack Napier was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And so the guy that he worked for that was played by, oh God, what was his name?
Is he one of the Italian mobsters?
Jack.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Palance, played by Jack Palance.
Was he one of the Italian mobsters?
Yeah, kind of, I think, yeah.
Like Silvatoni or something like that, or Moroni?
No, it was Carl Grissom.
That's too vague.
Number three, Wes Craven actually directed which film based on a DC Comics release?
Wes Craven?
Indeed.
It wasn't Constantine. Swamp Thing?
Well done. That is very good.
Come on.
Which DC villain is Justice League Big Bad Steppenwolf related to?
Darkseid's uncle.
Is correct. Dwayne Johnson waited 12 years to play which DC character?
Come on.
I had to slip that one in there. What was the name of Penguin's gang in Batman Returns?
This I don't think I do know. the Icicles? I don't know.
No. The Red Triangle Gang. Who was originally slated to direct Superman 4?
So this would have been early 90s or late 80s. Is it a big name director?
It's a big name director more in horror.
John Carpenter?
No, it was actually Wes Craven.
I was going to say Wes Craven as well. Oh,
there you go. In Superman Returns, what is the name Lex Luthor gives his new landmass off the coast of Metropolis?
I've seen that. I've seen that film, A Grand Total of once.
Oh, right.
In the cinema in New York when it came out. Utopia, I don't know.
It's New Krypton. In Justice League, who appears to Bruce Wayne in a vision and warns him that Lois Lane holds the key to everything?
The Flash.
Is correct. And the final question, who sends Diana a photo taken of her during World War One?
Bruce Wayne.
Yes, well done. That was 6 out of 10. 60%, that's pretty good.
The one that I was happiest with was the Wes Craven Swamp Thing.
Yeah, you pulled that one.
I pulled that out of the bag.
You
I don't know where
that
from.
Out of the bag.
Also, what was question one?
What is Task Force X? Or
oh,
something?
Yeah, that was, yeah, that
yeah,
was
I,
easy.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that was easy for me.
There you go.
Some of them, like, I'm not going to ruin. Like, I've seen this Red Triangle. I saw that in December and I still don't. I could have watched that film yesterday and I wouldn't have. Probably wouldn't have got that.
But 60% is really good, mate. So well
right.
done. Well
thank
done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Back to the job in hand. We need your number five then, please, Tez.
So my number five. And you know what? I was tempted to put this slightly higher. James Gunn's The Suicide Squad.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't make my top 10, but I love this movie. I do.
I love this film.
Yeah. Because it is 100% James Gunn.
Yeah, it's so silly, but also like, but in a believable way. Yeah. You're like, yeah, well, of course they'd be this silly. because the whole thing is a bit silly. Mm. I love the double cross. The double cross at the beginning was brilliant.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, because it wasn't expected at all.
No, no.
The fact that all the people that they put up in the promos are just getting blasted to bits.
Instantly.
You think, what?
That
hang
was
on.
So good.
Spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen it.
Yeah, and yeah, good, great villain. Mm. I mean, actually, every villain, there's like multiple villains in this, yeah. And they're all great. Harley Quinn, obviously, outstanding as per. Idris Elba played Idris Elba very well.
Yeah.
And John Cena's great.
Yeah. Did you watch the Peacemaker TV show?
I did. I thought also brilliant.
So good.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. So I'm quite excited about the DCU. Or the new DCU. So yeah, no, I love this film a lot.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree.
And I also think it's quite slightly misunderstood and underrated, because I feel like a lot of people haven't seen it. But B, people who saw it didn't like it for some reason, and I feel like you need to watch it properly again, because it's really good.
And it didn't do very well at the box office, where everyone thought it was going to be a massive hit. But compared to the original Suicide Squad, which I thought was a terrible movie, and I don't think it was.
But even parts of that I liked. It's not a good movie. I agree with you, but yeah. I like parts of it.
Yeah, I would love to see the director's cut of that, because I think a lot of it got taken out of his hands, but. Okay, that's your number five. My number five, I'm going with the original Superman from 1978. It's a great movie. It's the first movie I can remember.
Oh, I've got that number two.
Oh, you got that number two. Okay.
I almost forgot that. Yeah, I've got that number two. Yeah, because that film made me fall in love with probably movies, but like definitely Superman and superheroes.
Yeah, because it came out. So it came
Superman
out.
Was king
the year after Star Wars.
Mm.
So sort of like special effects where you could see ships flying around was like amazing. But all of a sudden now there's a man flying around, and at that time it was like I can always remember watching that helicopter scene. You know, when the helicopter crash and he's jumping up and he's saving Lois, and then he picks up the helicopter. It was just mind boggling. And then you've got the John Williams soundtrack, Gene Hackman. Still, for me, the greatest Lex Luthor that there's been. He's just, he's just so good.
I love the Smallville guy.
Yeah, yeah. But he is, for me, I mean, I love Gene Hackman anyway. He's a great actor. But yeah, it's just a great movie. And I think you have to watch it with thinking that it's 1978. Because I think none of my kids have ever seen it, I don't think. And they'd probably look at it and go, oh, yeah, that looks a bit ropey with the special effects. Because you take for granted the special effects.
Also,
that you have
him at the end, like, losing Lois.
Yes.
And then spinning the world backwards again. And you're like, oh.
It's so good.
And also, he has been the best Clark Kent by a country mile.
Yeah.
His Clark Kent is phenomenal.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like you did when you took your glasses off at the start. It's always one of those movie moment things where you think all he does is he's just got a pair of sunglasses or a pair of glasses on.
But as you get older, you realize his hair is different as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few subtle things.
He hasn't got the kiss curl or anything, has he?
Yeah. And he's slightly carrying himself slightly differently.
That is true. But yeah.
And also, I realized when I was older, he's a handsome man.
Mm. Absolutely.
Sort of thing that you didn't really care about as a kid or whatever. But I didn't see that film for years. And then when I saw it again, it would have been probably in my early 20s, or at least the poster, or at least Christopher Reeve's face. That guy is a handsome man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. So that's your number two. Okay. So your number four was Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
Mm.
My number four was Watchmen.
Yeah.
Your number three was Batman Returns.
Yeah.
My number three is the original Batman from
1989. Ooh, okay. Yeah.
So, again, there's so many iconic moments. You got Jack Nicholson. It's just a great movie. Tim Burton at the top of his game. It was the way that he made Gotham feel very claustrophobic. And,
rewatching that, I just realized how small the set was.
Yes. Yeah.
This was shot in a studio, not out in the real world.
And it's crazy to think that, but it kind of made me feel like, because it always feels like Gotham is always, it's always raining in Gotham.
Mm,
whether it's daytime, whether it's nighttime, it's always grey and miserable. But it was like you say, they probably used the same street corner 10 times for different scenes.
Yeah.
And just Jack Nicholson is just great as the Joker in an iconic performance.
Yeah, even though it's not in my top 10 because I put in Batman Returns, I didn't want to in. Can't argue with that.
No, that's fair enough. So that was my number three. Your number two was Superman.
Mm.
My number two, which I feel might be your number one, is The Dark Knight.
What the hell?
Is The Dark Knight.
That's number two?
That's my number two, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I have a feeling that that's your number one.
Yes.
So what we'll do...
Because number two is Superman.
Yeah. So what we'll do is if you want to count down your 10 to 2, mm-hmm. I'll do the same. Then we can talk about The Dark Knight, and then I'll talk about my number one. Okay.
So number 10?
Yeah.
The Batman.
Yes.
Number 9, Man of Steel. Number 8, Joker. Number 7, Watchmen. Number 6, Shazam. Number 5, The Suicide Squad. Number 4, Justice League, The Snyder Cut. Number three, Batman Returns. Number 2, Superman, the original. And number 1, the GOAT, the greatest comic book movie of all time, The Dark Knight.
Okay, we should talk about that in a second. Mine is number 10, Superman 3. Number 9, Wonder Woman. Number 8, The Justice League, Snyder Cut. 7, Batman Returns. 6, Joker. 5, Superman. 4, Watchmen. 3, Batman. 2, The Dark Knight. And I'll tell you my number one after we've spoken about The Dark Knight. So, you just said it's the greatest superhero movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it is. It's a perfect movie, as far as I'm concerned. So,
yeah.
But it didn't quite get to my number one.
That's just amazing.
Why is it your number one?
It is a perfect. If this wasn't a Batman movie, it would still be a perfect movie. You've got an iconic antagonist, one of the greatest top five antagonists of all time. Mm. Brilliant, brilliant, out of the box performance by Heath Ledger, rest in peace. Action set pieces, or there's two or three action set pieces in this that are terrific. The opening bank scene is brilliant. Each of those minions is betraying the other one. It's so, so good. And then Joker drives off with all the money at the end. The bus coming into the bank is just, oh, it's so good. And then the chase scene, when he's chasing the Joker through the tunnels and stuff, and Joker has the rocket launcher, the Joker in the interrogation room, the introduction, the first time you see the Joker properly when he goes and sees the mafioso in that room is just one of my favorite scenes in movies of all time. I thought Christian Bale was also criminally underrated in this because Heath Ledger just took so much of the spotlight. It took away from how good and grounded Christian Bale's performance was, both as Batman and as Bruce Wayne. And the supporting cast is just phenomenal. Of course, you've got Lucius, played by
Morgan Freeman.
You got Michael Keaton. You've got Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
And you've got all the various villains played by different people.
Yeah.
Just brilliant. Just a brilliant, brilliant movie. Incredibly well executed. Obviously, you've got Two-Face, which I thought was one of the greatest heel turns in a movie of all time. Because it made complete sense. You've got this knight in shining armor, took the fall as being the Batman, believed in the Batman, was horribly robbed of the love of his life, and then was just like, this doesn't work. Yeah. And obviously it was obviously a bit on the nose, Two-Face, But
that was
brilliant.
Great. The special effects for that was great. Gary Amazing. Oldman as well, of course.
Gary Oldman, yeah. Brilliant. It's a brilliant, brilliant movie. The bit with the ships, and is one of them going to blow the other one up?
Yeah.
Because you all put yourselves, while you're watching it, you're putting yourself in their shoes and stuff. Like, oh, so good.
It is. I kind of feel it was on a knife edge that this like would either be my number one or number two.
No notes. And an incredible soundtrack as well.
Yes.
Hans Zimmer.
Chef's kiss. Yeah. Mm. So with that, I've got my number one is one that isn't in your top 10.
Is it Green Lantern?
Oh, you've ruined it now. I was going to come out with a massive... No, it's not. It's Wonder Woman 1984. No. It's not. I'm going for Superman 2. Superman 2 is my number one DC movie. Because, again, Terrence Stamp as Zod. The three of them together, you got Zod. I can't never remember the names.
Friosa?
Something like that. But you've also got the fact that Superman loses his powers, or he decides to get rid of his powers for his love of Lois. And that whole, the scene where he goes into the diner and gets his ass kicked. And then when it comes to the point where he knows that he's got to go back because Zod has taken over, and obviously Gene Hackman's back again. And then when he gets his, that whole turnaround again, when Zod asks him, he has to kneel before Zod, obviously the famous thing. And he does that thing where he scrunches his hand because he's got his power back. He's gone into the little capsule and he's made all of them lose their powers. And then Lois turns around and goes, you know what? You're a real pain in the neck, and smacks the woman in the face. And then he goes back as Clark back to the diner.
She's terrific, by the way.
Margot Kidder is Lois Lane. She's fantastic.
Brilliant.
She is fantastic. But he goes back and he sees the same guy that beat him up the first time, and just spins him on the chair and throws him out. And I've been working out, you know.
It's
so good. It is so good. I still haven't seen the Richard Donner version. I don't think I have either. No, and I need to.
I think it's a terrific film, and yeah, I don't know why I didn't make my top 10, but I think it is terrific. I think because I put Man of Steel in there, and I thought two movies with Zod as the villain might be overkill. I think it does deserve to take a mark off it, because in one of the scenes he defeats a bad guy by taking a cellophane thing off his chest and throwing it at someone. Where did the cellophane come from?
That's true.
At no point is that explained,
isn't it? And it gets bigger.
Where does that come from?
Yeah,
I don't remember that being a weakness for Kryptonians.
No, that is true.
Was it Kryptonite cellophane? What was going on there?
It's just a big S carrier bag that just goes over him and renders.
And they do say don't put carrier bags over your head. They do say that on them, actually.
They do. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. But that is a good point. I'd forgotten about that bit. Maybe that's what tips it over, so I'm in Dark Knight. Oh, dear. Okay, we did get a couple of honourable mentions. Stu Grant said Superman Reeves, of course. Superman 2, Superman 3. Batman, Keaton, Batman Returns. Batman Begins. The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight Rises. I'm not sure about that.
I like The Dark Knight Rises.
Did you?
Yeah, I really liked it. Like, I genuinely love that film. I think it's great. Like, I don't think it's a terrific film. I don't think it's one of the greatest films of all time or anything. But what does it make sense?
The fact that he is supposed to be someone that is helping people, and he decides to be like Kylo Ren, a moody bastard that's, oh, I've hurt my back, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to help anybody in Gotham.
But also because the police are constantly on his ass every time he goes out. So he also can't a little bit.
But he's Batman.
Yeah, I know he's Batman, but he's clearly been Batman for a while.
Yeah.
And he's not been Batman for about a year or so.
All right, I'll give you that. What about
he's got a monkey leg.
What about the fact that Alfred, who's been his family for years and years, he lets him think that he's dead. He cries at his grave, oh, Master Bruce, I've let you down. And he doesn't even tell him that he's alive. He doesn't need to do anything but leave him a little message. Don't worry,
he lets him. He lets him know at the end. He's like,
just by happening to be at that place.
Oh, no, because he tells him, doesn't he? In the film, he says, every year I take a vacation to this place, whatever. And so that's where he turns up, and he's like,
so however long it had been, he's had to think all that time that he's been dead.
Like 6 months, isn't it? And then he's like,
yeah, exactly. And then just lift up the glass and have a little drink, and then he pisses off back to Gotham. Anyway, Superman Returns, he's got that one. And Shazam, Stu says. And Doug Simpson says, number 10, Batman. 9, Justice League, The Snyder Cut. 8, Batman Returns. 7, The Batman. 6, The Dark Knight Rises. 5, The Suicide Squad. 4, Batman Begins. 3, The Lego Batman Movie. 2, Joker. And 1, The Dark Knight.
That guy really loves Batman.
He does. He says, not a film, but a shout out to the Gotham TV series too.
Okay. Yeah, I watched the first series of that, and then I just had too much going on, exactly. Too much stuff to watch at the same time, so I had to drop all the DC shows at the same time.
There you go. Well, and you say you had a lot going on. We've managed to do the top 10. So apart from going on tour, anything else you got going on, Tez?
At some point, I'll be on SAS Who Dares Wins this year.
Ooh.
And so you can see in that how good of a superhero I would make.
So have you already filmed that? Or yep, have you
filmed it?
So you
no, not we filmed it. We filmed it last summer.
So you
summer.
Can't tell us anything about what happened?
Can't tell you anything, except that I'm in it. And so, yeah, you can judge for yourselves in that. How good
well,
of a superhero.
Here. You're still
yeah,
here.
Yeah, well, so. I'm alive, which is good. So that'll be fun at some point. I don't know when it's out, but it's out at some point this year.
Right.
And from September, I'm on my big nationwide tour all over the country, tezilias.com. For all your links and stuff.
I will put that in the show notes so people can just click on there. And that, is that up and down the country?
Yeah, all the way from Glasgow and Edinburgh all the way down to Brighton and Southampton. And everywhere in between.
And I'm assuming all your social medias you can get from your website as well?
Yeah. And it's at Tez Ilias everywhere. So I'm dead easy to find.
Okay. And how was making tea for your wife? Did it work out okay in the end?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. It was well. I know how to make one dish, one pasta dish.
And it looked very nice. I must admit, I saw on Instagram.
Bit too much salt.
All right.
I haven't done it for a little while, so a bit too much salt, I think. But apart from that, it was very nice.
Yeah, I would recommend following Tez on Instagram because he's got some funny videos on there.
Thank you.
And again, if you want to follow us and. You know, on Patreon, social media, email us. All of the links are in the show notes. I can't be bothered to go through them all. They're all there. You just click on what you want. Merch, Patreon, all that stuff. And send us an email for, you know, Neil, my usual co-host, does all this. I've got no idea what I'm talking about. Just go to the show notes. It's all on there. Tez, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And whenever you've got another thing you want to talk about, I mean, DC movies obviously is your thing. I mean, maybe we've done top 10 Star Wars original trilogy moments. Maybe you'd come and do the top 10 prequel moments or top 10 sequel moments, maybe.
I mean, that'd be thin.
The sequel ones will be.
They'd all be from episode 7.
They would. We could maybe do something like that, or I'm sure that you're an expert in many other things.
Yeah. No, I'd love to come back on at some point and talk about some more stuff.
Awesome. Good luck with the tour, and
thank you very much.
And good luck with the SAS and all that. That's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And thank you very much, everybody, for watching and listening. And let's go start the countdown. This is going to be interesting because I mean, on previous episodes, I've said what I think about the few what DC has been like during the MCU. We can get into all that. But
before we start, what are your top three Star Wars movies out of the 11 odd?
So it'd be A New Hope at number one, Empire at number two, and probably Jedi at number three.
Oh wow, we've just gone 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. Because for me, everyone seems to say that Empire Strikes Back, and it is a perfect film, but A New Hope is the one that got me into Star Wars when I was eight years old.
Sure,
so it's
sure.
the one that I can watch. I'd hate to think how many times I've watched that.
It'd be frightening
to think about it. But
I just can't stand the Ewoks.
Right. I can see that. I can really see that.
Yeah.
But
so mine would go 5, 4, 3.
Really?
I think from Anakin's turn, that movie is amazing.
Yeah.
From the moment Anakin turns, it's just that the last hour or 45 minutes, whatever it is just so good. And just erases all the other crap that went on 2.5 films before it.
I just wish that George Lucas had written the scripts and then handed it off to somebody else to say, can you like polish these up?
Because and write some good dialogue.
Because the dialogue was just awful. And I can remember coming out of The Phantom Menace and thought, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Because
I wasn't ever expecting another Star Wars film. As it went on, I thought, oh, Jar Jar, what the fucking hell's going on here?
You know what's interesting? Now at this age, I'm like, tell me more about the trade stuff, because how does a galactic universe actually function?
Exactly. I think that's like, where some of the TV shows are actually quite interesting. Because like,
it's complicated doing it on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do it across the universe? That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I found some of the more boring stuff in, what's it called? The latest one.
The Rise of Skywalker.
No, sorry, the TV show.
Endor, was that?
Yeah, Andor. Yeah. I found some of that stuff fascinating. I was like,
That was
of
a
course,
lot.
Yeah. Of course, there were a lot of meetings going on.
Yeah. And I like those kind of things where it fleshes it out, but like Rise of Skywalker is a piece of shit. It is fucking terrible.
No, I hated the whole. Oh. I actually really like 7, even though it was just episode 4.
Yeah.
Done with better graphics.
I saw that 13 times at the cinema. I hated
8. Hated 9.
Yeah. 9 was just terrible.
But I also despise Kylo Ren.
Oh, really?
I just hate the... Just an emo, middle-class, privileged child. To go, oh, my mum was the princess. And my uncle is the most powerful man in the galaxy. And I'm very upset about everything.
I'm
going to write some poetry. Because I'm mad about everything.
And he's always angry. He's always angry until he gets a kiss off the lady at the end.
Yeah,
and then he decides to die.
Okay, hated him.
I mean, this should all stay in, you know. This should all stay in the episode.
Yeah, keep it in.
I feel like what I might do is have this at the end as a little extra little bonus bit,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah. An appendix.
An appendix, exactly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.